Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life. Happy New Year! If you're listening to this live, we've just entered into January 2020. The new year, a time to harness the momentum, to dig into a fresh start, to reevaluate and assess our values and goals. It's also a time of massive targeted marketing. How you're not enough, how you're too much, how you need to change this or do that to be fulfilled, happier, worthy. Sometimes I struggle with the fact that I am in the fitness industry. I'm in a very niche and unconventional side of it, to be sure, but I'm still connected nonetheless as a functional movement coach. While I believe that movement is powerful and a much underutilized tool that we can all access for our strength, health, and function, I also never want to make anyone feel less than or unworthy, like they're not doing enough already, or it's totally inaccessible to them. But then there's that flip side of the coin. I understand knowing that movement is powerful and wanting to make shifts towards incorporating more into my life and seeing such powerful results in my own skin. So I've created a simple challenge for the month of January to try and balance it all. Not because you're not enough, but because your body is worthy of your time and attention, and because small shifts matter. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Small shifts matter. They matter a whole lot. I've seen massive changes from making small shifts myself, and I hear it over and over again from my clients. So here's how the challenge is going to work. All you need to do is to follow along on either my Instagram stories or Facebook Lives. I'm at Erin Underwood Movement or Thriving Birth Worker on both platforms. So here's how it's going to work. All you need to do is to follow along on either my Instagram stories or my Facebook Lives. I'm going to be on Erin Underwood Movement or Thriving Birth Worker on both platforms every day. And I'll be posting a description of the move and a video you can follow along, and you can do it just wherever fits into your everyday life. Most of these movements will take less than 5 minutes each, and you can do them however would feel best in your body. Once you do them, you either DM me or comment on the lives every day that you participate. So every time you give me a comment or a message, you get entered into a drawing for some prizes, because let's make this fun. The fitness and movement industry can be so intense and serious, especially this time of year. And while there's a time and place for that, we lose our childlike and intuitive relationship with movement. So some of the prizes are going to be some myofascial release yoga tune-up balls, maybe some of my courses. And I've got a really fun big prize that I'm going to announce in the Facebook and Instagram lives on the first day. So follow along. So here's to accessibility, small changes, big dreams, and feeling at home in your own skin. If you want to play along, I'd love to have you join me. Follow me on Instagram and Facebook, and we'll have fun together. Happy New Year! So today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Today, I'm going to be talking about my personal experience with diastasis recti and pelvic organ prolapse. Also, pelvic organ prolapse can be referred to as POP, P-O-P, so I might refer to it that way. And diastasis recti sometimes can be called just DR, just so you know. I've spent years in this world working on my own healing journey and also coming alongside so many other women in the middle of their healing journey. And I've found, unfortunately enough, that my story is not all that unique. I've talked to so many women who have been told the same things I was told and been offered the same very limited options that I was offered and felt very similarly to the way I did. So my hope in telling my story to you today is to expose the process many of us have gone through, and for us as practitioners to help influence our clients' experiences through compassion and hope. Fear never served anyone very well long term, and my hope is that we can impact this culture to create experiences that are filled with hope
and options, especially options, and clarity instead of fear and feeling helpless. So let's get to it. So my background in movement has been coming to it as more of an athlete. So I grew up very athletic. I did gymnastics and swim team and basketball and softball. And I always experienced living life in a very able body, where if I put my mind to something, I could make it happen. And even though I had to work hard, I could accomplish my goals. And so that was the world I was had experienced up to that point of having children. So 6 pregnancies in 7 years, 4 full term, and the 4 full term were in 5.5 years with no multiples. So I had 4 pregnancies back to back to back to back, full term. And after I had my 4th son, I know, crazy, right? So I had 5.5 kids. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 4 children in 5.5 years. I don't have 5.5 children. And it was a lot for my body, but I had that athlete brain of I can do it. Like I can put my mind to it. I can make it happen. And I honestly bounced back after every pregnancy. Like after the first 3, I could just do the work, take the time to heal. And within 6 to 8 months, I felt pretty fully recovered from all the pregnancies. And so I was just expecting that my body would continue to do this for me. And so after my 4th pregnancy, I just immediately after giving birth to him, I knew something was wrong. I was experiencing a heaviness in my pelvic floor that I'd never experienced before. My belly didn't feel right. Like my whole body was just not responding or healing the way it had in the previous 3 pregnancies and post-pregnancies. So to summarize it all, after about 6 weeks of, you know, you give yourself the 6 weeks for healing after giving birth is what we tend to do here in America. And my midwife was just like, you know, we'll just assess, like, don't worry about it. We'll wait for the full 6 weeks and we'll see where we're at. And at the 6-week mark, I was still left with a 4-5 finger gap, diastasis gap. And I still had that incredible feeling of heaviness. The only way I can really describe it is it felt like I had a tampon constantly falling out of me, even though I didn't have a tampon in. Or I felt like I was sitting on something hard, like not quite as big as a tennis ball, but something along those lines. I had stress incontinence, which didn't take very much stress to make it happen. Like I didn't have to be doing anything really dramatic. It was basically if I waited to go to the bathroom too long, I would leak. I was later diagnosed with a grade 2 uterine and rectocele prolapse. So to compound all of these issues, my body literally broke in every way. I had severe adrenal fatigue, which manifested also with chronic insomnia. So I had these 4 children, I had a newborn, and even when the baby was sleeping, my body would not allow me to sleep. So I was beyond exhausted. I would get maybe 4 hours of sleep a night in a couple hours of chunks, maybe like that would be a good night. And I had chronic low back pain, severe SIJ stuff going on, neck tension. I was just an emotional and physical wreck. Also, I had intense postpartum depression, which I had experienced before, but not coupled with the insomnia. And so it was a lot darker that time around. So I was a complete wreck. And I was terrified specifically around my physical issues because I didn't know quite how to approach feeling broken in my body because I had honestly never experienced that before. I was always very capable, and if I wasn't accomplishing goals physically, it was just because I wasn't trying hard enough. Like I was just not putting in the time and not being disciplined with my schedule. And to be in this place where I felt so broken and so helpless, and honestly, the lack of sleep is really intense. So weeks on end of not getting hardly any sleep will make anyone go crazy. So the feeling of terror, it felt I was broken. I felt betrayed by my body, by God, by the universe. Like, I felt like I was asking my body to perform a normal biological function and that it wasn't able to do so without breaking. And that was my perspective. It's shifted since. But in that space, those feelings were all very, very real. And I think sometimes if you haven't walked through this journey personally, these very big emotions can feel a little dramatic or a little disproportionate to the dysfunction. But just to bring a little bit of perspective, you know, a pelvic organ prolapse, especially, or the diastasis recti, both have a giant impact on pretty much every aspect of your life. And when you're experiencing a feeling constantly, you can't, it impacts every single part of your life. You can't turn it off. It doesn't just surface every now and then. It's constantly running through your brain. So for a mom, I was a young, you know, a mom with young children. I was always worried about doing something wrong so that I would make it worse or make myself more broken. And I'm using air quotes, but that was, you know, a very real feeling for me because it was like, well, what if I, you know, my kid, I need to run after them in the yard, or if I pick up my baby in just the wrong way and I feel an increase of heaviness in my pelvic floor. There was just so much unknown for me. Like, I didn't know what would make it worse, but I knew that making it worse would be really bad. And so I felt so, so broken. And so when I went to an OBGYN, they looked at me. He just looked at me really funny and was like, well, yeah, you're a mom. And so, yeah, you know, experiencing heaviness is normal and it's not going to hurt you. And if you want to have surgery, you could, but otherwise you can live with it and you'll be fine. Like, there's nothing that's going to hurt you. And so I left that office feeling like those are my only two options of live with it or go under the knife, which I am not anti-surgery. I just want to say that. Like, I have heard some women who have gotten their lives back through surgery. But to me, it felt like a deeper issue that surgery wasn't going to fix. Like, if it just didn't feel right for me. And so I'm a very strong proponent of women tapping into their intuition and without fear, knowing what's right and what's wrong for them individually. And so sometimes surgery is a really good option for some people. But for me, where I was at in my journey, it really didn't feel right. It really didn't feel like it would be a good option. And to me, it felt like a Band-Aid over a gaping wound that it was like, I want to get to the root issue. Like, I want to know the why behind this and not just throw a Band-Aid on it, because I know ultimately that's not going to solve the root issue, whatever that was. I didn't even know what it was, but it felt incomplete. It felt like an incomplete answer. So, oh, I just went into a really dark place with my postpartum depression. And I just remember barely surviving every day. I was past exhaustion. My husband was working to full time to provide for us. So I was home alone with four children. Since my oldest was only 5 and a half, he wasn't going to school yet. And I was living on, you know, very broken, very minimal sleep, and I had zero energy. I remember laying on the couch and just watching my kids play, nursing on the couch, and only getting up to help one if they needed help or to change a diaper or to feed them. And then I was right back on the couch. Like, it was a really, I could barely survive. It was really dark. And it was, you know, my sweet husband, he was so supportive as well as he could be, but he couldn't stop working. And because he had to provide for us, and because I wasn't able to do any of that at that point in time. And so he would, you know, very sweetly, he would come home, he would pick up Chinese food, which, I mean, I like to eat relatively healthy. And so, I mean, that was even dark, but he would just pick up Chinese food on the way home, and he'd come home and he'd do dishes and he'd clean up and he would do a load of laundry. And he really was the glue that held our family together during that time period. And it's not something that I really like thinking about because I'm such a strong, independent person. And so to be reduced to this place of feeling completely helpless and broken was really mentally hard. So I wound up eventually going to another doctor and got the same answer. I went in for getting some help with my adrenal issues and I casually slipped in my pelvic floor symptoms because for some crazy reason, we women have so much shame around pelvic floor and pelvic floor dysfunction. And so it was so hard. I just remember being so embarrassed to talk about it. And like somehow I felt like a failure, like my body had failed at performing what it was supposed to do, these natural biological functions. And I'm sharing vocabulary that I wouldn't necessarily use now, but I'm sharing my experience and the way I was thinking then. So those are all phrases and words that were just going around and around in my head. And I brought it up again. And again, I got the same response of, you know, it's not hurting you. Like, it's just uncomfortable. Like, you can live with it. You'll be fine. Or you can get surgery. But, you know, you're kind of young, so think about it. And I just, yeah, discouraged is a word that doesn't fully encompass how frustrating and how alone I felt. I was barely 30 years old, and I felt like I was now assigned to live in this broken body for the rest of my life. And deep down, it just didn't sit right. That reality didn't feel right. I personally believe in a loving God who created our bodies, and I didn't understand how asking my body to perform these quote-unquote natural biological functions would break me to the point that it had broken me. And so after a while, I gave into the depression for a little while, like ugly giving in. I was like, I mean, picture like sobbing in the bed in the fetal position, can't get out of bed type of broken. That was my low point. Like if he was home, I was in bed, like not functioning. And if he was at work, I was laying on the couch, barely functioning. And it's not even really something I like to think about because I've healed and I'm happy to share my story, but I still have to work through feelings of shame and feeling like a failure as a mother, a failure as a person, and remembering those days where my kids just had to watch me barely functioning. And I mean, I wasn't the fun mom. I wasn't able to play with them. Like I was so broken that, and I don't use, and again, that's the term I used back then. It was bad. So at some point, I shifted. Like I remember realizing if I don't change this situation, nothing's going to change because there was no expert out there that I had come in contact with that was breathing hope and life into my situation. And so I realized like after a while, I was like, I can't live the rest of my life giving into this depression. And so I shifted into study mode. My personality and who I am, I'm a figure outer. So I just deep down, I knew there were more than two options for where I was at with my healing journey. And I love to know why. I love to know how come. I love to ask questions and I love to get answers and I love science. I love scientific research. When I'm trying to figure out something, I don't want to have more than one variable because then I won't know what influenced it. Like I'm just a total nerd when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so I did it. I just started going into research mode and I dug, and thank God for the internet, because I spent some late night nursing sessions in front of the computer on the internet. This was before the iPhone, people, or before I had an iPhone. There was probably a few iPhones, but it was before everyone had an iPhone and I didn't. And it was before I had, personally, I had a laptop. So I'm like sitting at an actual desk, like with an actual like desktop computer, but we did have the internet. I'm not that old. And so I just remember sitting in front of this big old desktop computer late at night, that, you know, desk light on, you know, while I'm nursing my baby, being like, I can Google, like somehow I'm going to find some answer, something out there via the internet. And so Google became my best friend. And I just started researching and reading and trying to find everything out that I could about diastasis recti and pelvic organ prolapse. And really, were there other options besides living with it or surgery? And this, at this point in time, was where my research led me to Katie Bowman. So if you haven't heard of her, she's a biomechanist who's written a ton of different books. She is known worldwide, but the first one that I started with was her Move Your DNA book, and it discusses how movement has been impacted by our culture and how culture shapes our bodies and our experiences of our bodies. And it was a very big picture approach rather than do these five exercises, which felt very like it wasn't getting to the root issue. And so I felt like Katie Bowman was able to help really zoom out massively to help me start seeing a little bit of a bigger picture of how culture and how we move, it shapes the experience that we have in our body. And I read everything I could from her. I read all of her blog posts when she came out with a podcast. I consumed all of those. I read all of her books that the library had. Like, I was in the zone with trying to understand her perspective, because I think I latched onto her because, one, she explained things really well from a very scientific standpoint, but also breathed a lot of hope into me that, okay, so if culture influences the experience of my body, if I can influence my own personal culture, then I could possibly create a different outcome for the experience I was having in my body, that I wasn't stuck just being this broken. Yeah, just stuck. That was where I felt like just really stuck. And I was like, wow, what if I wasn't stuck? What if I could slowly over time make small shifts and see some improvement? And so I did that. And some of the shifts I made are included in today's freebie. 4 shifts that I made that were very simple and practical and accessible to everyone. And I think our culture sometimes really downplays small shifts. Like, I want to know the 30-minute exercise protocol you did to help heal your body. But, you know, when I tell people about these really small, simple shifts that actually made a big impact, it's harder for people to believe that really small shifts can make a big difference. But honestly, that was my starting point. So it was one hurdle I had to process is I started studying how movement could influence my healing journey. And I was studying movement from the couch and from my desk chair. And I had to process that with grace, because I was like, great, like I'm reading how movement could really almost save me, but I had no energy to move and my body felt so broken. I felt so betrayed, like it almost felt inaccessible to me. And so that was almost worse than having no answers, of feeling like, okay, there is an answer out there, but it's inaccessible to me, because I was so, it was still such a brain shift, a perspective shift, to go from being in an able body to feeling severely limited in my options of what was accessible to me. And so one thing that was really encouraging to me, and I'm going to have her on this show soon. I've done an interview with her and we're going to release it soon. It was amazing. But another teacher that I followed, a movement teacher I follow, her name is Jennifer Gleason Blue. And I found her blog through my journey. And she wrote a blog about why she quit climbing trees. And she was processing through her own healing journey from a miscarriage and how she was listening to her body and honoring her body and backed off of more of an intense movement protocol or regimen, and how she did that for her own healing and how she was honoring her body's needs. And the way she wrote it, it breathed hope into me, as far as it's okay, I can't do it all. It's okay if I can't walk 5 miles a day. Like, it's okay if I'm still laying on the couch. Like, I can start making tiny shifts and it can matter and it can make a difference. And so I really started processing my approach to movement, and I was able to start saying, it's okay if I can only walk 5 minutes a day, because that's what I'm going to do. And so my healing journey, one, started with addressing my own beliefs around this all or nothing, go big or go home kind of mentality, and believing that small shifts could make a difference. And then 5 minute walks, like literally all I could do was walk for 5 minutes a day. I would walk to the end of the road and back while after my husband came home from work, and I had done nothing all day long except for lay on the couch and study and be with my kids. I would take a 5 minute walk and end of the road and come back, and it felt like nothing. Honestly, it felt like this is a joke. Like, what am I even doing? Like, is 5 minutes a day going to make any kind of a difference? No, it's not. But I did it anyway, and it started to shift things. And that was the beginning of my healing journey. And 5 minutes a day really did make a huge impact. So through my research, it led me down the path through many different movement methods and protocols. And I'm not here to throw any specific programs under the bus. I've worked with a lot of them. I have done probably all of the popular programs within the last few years, or at least have researched and looked into them. And while the movement from some of these programs helped me feel better, because, you know, there's that belief of I'm doing something that is going to be helpful, and you get the endorphins from movement, and you know, there's a lot of benefits from moving. But personally, I didn't see a lot of difference in my symptoms, in the main symptoms I was going after when I did these programs. So this is where I was starting to see the difference between having a movement strategy and just having quote unquote safe exercises that you can do for whatever you're working around. So I didn't quit, because once I get started, I'm extremely stubborn. And my husband says, I am the second most stubborn person that he knows. And he gives himself credit for being the first most stubborn person. But I don't know if I agree with him. We'll see about that. But I just knew there had to be a solution somewhere. And I knew I was on track. I just knew I hadn't quite dialed into the correct radio station for me, for where I was at in my journey. So through the power, again, of the internet, of Google, of Facebook, I think is where I found a program called Restore Your Core from a woman named Lauren O'Han, who had studied under a lot of different amazing movement teachers. And she, including Katie Bowman, who I was like, okay, so we were coming from a very similar place. Like, we were kind of talking some of the same language already. So after watching all of her free content and being a part of her Facebook group, I was just like, it just felt right. Like, what she was teaching, the way she was talking, the way she was communicating and approaching all of this made so much sense to me. And something inside of me was like, this is right for me. And so I bought her course, and it felt like a big chunk of change. And it felt like, if it's scary to hope, like when you're in that space to hit buy, to hit purchase, to hit yes, I want to do this, means I'm agreeing to hope. And it can feel like you're on such an emotional roller coaster with hoping and believing, and then it not working with so many different things. It's very easy to just quit, because that emotional roller coaster of choosing to hope and believe can feel just too much. But I did it, and I pushed through. And I really appreciated her approach to movement. So she was talking a lot about like identifying our own movement patterns and identifying our blind spots and to retrain our movement approach. So it was very different than this more nebulous approach of these exercises are safe for POP and DR, but it was very specific into helping me identify my own movement patterns. So I purchased and I committed to this 13-week program, which honestly, I didn't know I would finish, because 13 weeks felt like a really long time. But And I think I'll do an entire episode sometime talking about the experience going through the program. But just to summarize, I loved how the program made me feel. I really appreciated how my body felt really good at the end of these exercise classes. I felt like I was learning and understanding more and more. The way she explained things clicked, made a ton of sense to me. And at the end of the 13-week program, my DR had completely closed and my prolapse symptoms were probably about like 50% healed or 50% asymptomatic or gone. So I was like, this is working. And I was starting to feel strong and capable and able in my body, which I hadn't felt that in a long time. So I went through the program again, because when you purchase it, you own it. And so I was able to go through it again. And at the end of the second time through the program, I was asymptomatic from all of my complaints, from my SI joint, from my neck tension, prolapse, diastasis. It was so powerful for me. And I saw and experienced the power of spending the time to get to know my own body, to know my own movement patterns, and having an educated movement coach walk me through the process. And so when people ask me what one or two things I did to heal my DR, my POP, I can't pinpoint it to one thing. So the big thing that I recommend for everyone, and that was huge for me, is I started with some real heavy duty mindset work, like being able to shift from despair to hope, to believe that there is an answer out there and that I'm going to keep trying until I find a fit that's right for my body and my needs. And to be able to have people who are professionals in your life talk to you from that perspective of not giving up and also knowing like there is an answer, but your body and your needs are unique, but we can work on this together and that there is hope. So that all of that, the whole journey has inspired me to move into the line of work I am in now. So I teach movement from this perspective. Like I want to use movement as a tool to empower people to become the experts in their own body. I think often it's so easy to outsource our empowerment to, I'm just going to find a professional and let them tell me what to do and what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. And to be able to find people that will educate you, like share their knowledge and wisdom with you, but also you're part of the team. Like you're the expert in your own body. You're the one who lives in your body 100% of the time. And so you're going to know like when something's going to be a good fit, even though if there's resistance to doing that thing, like there was resistance to me taking that 5-minute walk. There was resistance to buying that program that was so helpful for me. But deep down, I knew it was the right thing to do, even though I had to kind of push through that fear. And learning to trust myself again was huge also in my healing journey. So personally, I've now trained and certified under Katie Bowman's company called Nutritious Movement. I'm a certified personal trainer in restorative exercise. And when Lauren opened up her teacher training, I knew I had to do it. So I am certified as a Restore Your Core teacher, and I love connecting with women who struggle with chronic pain, hormonal imbalances, DR, POP, SIJ, and more through teaching functional movement. And I love seeing people take charge of their journey through movement and seeing amazing improvements in function and confident strength building. So I really do feel like I have the best job in the world. And I love that my story, while it was a long and hard journey that took me years to work through, you know, I can say right now it was worth it. Like the fact that my journey led me to where I'm at today makes it worth it. Like I love breathing hope and life into others by telling my story. And I love how I can now support an amazing community. And I don't know how well I can do that if I couldn't look someone in the eye and say, I've been there. Like I've sat in that place of despair. I've sat in that place of feeling broken. I have sat in that place of feeling helpless and alone and unsupported. And I remember it well. And that is the place of compassion that I can teach from, rather than this, you know, black and white, go big or go home type of mentality, and to encourage people to participate in their own healing journey, because really they are the ones fighting for themselves. And that's so empowering when you can actually choose to fight for your own healing. It's really amazing. So if you're wanting to know or understand more about how to support yourself or your clients through diastasis recti and pelvic organ prolapse, I have a few resources that I highly recommend. So the first is a book called Diastasis Recti by Katie Bowman. So this is a very approachable and accessible book that explains bigger picture pieces about intra-abdominal pressure and how posture affects our pelvic floor. And Katie Bowman is really an amazing scientific mind that can break things down in a way that they're really accessible and it doesn't feel like you're reading a textbook. She gives a lot of great examples and she also has a great sense of humor. So it's really accessibly priced on Amazon, but I mean, my library has it, so I check with your library first as well. So the other program that I highly recommend is the program I use for myself for my own healing journey, which I've mentioned before, called Restore Your Core. So I cannot recommend this course highly enough. Lauren has trained and worked with bodies in movement for over 20 years, and she has a powerful healing journey story herself. And so for our listeners, we have a special coupon code for you if you're interested. So for you or for your clients, you can get $10 off of this program using the code THRIVINGBIRTH, all one word. And while it is something that I recommend and I do get a referral code for it, I personally bought the program with my own money and I never would recommend anything that I wouldn't use myself. Any of the funds I do get from sales of this, it go directly towards helping me produce this podcast. So that's where we're at with that. So if you're interested in getting a snapshot into my movement world, I've created a free 4 shifts to a stronger back PDF. So these are the shifts that I use to support my core and my pelvic floor healing journey. And these are the ones I recommend to all my clients, and they see some really powerful results with these really simple shifts. So all of this information can be found on thrivingbirthworker.com under today's podcast notes. So all of that has been just one piece of my journey and my story, and I'm really grateful for you listening and being able to share it with you today. And I hope it can inspire hope in your own life for your own journey and also for your clients. There is so much power in us being there for our clients and to breathe hope and to know, even if you don't have the specific answer, to know the next thing that they need to do, to be able to look someone in the eye and say, I believe in you. It's so powerful. So I just encourage you all to keep doing what you're doing, to keep supporting the community you're supporting. It makes a huge difference. And I just hope that you guys can encourage each other and know that I'm so encouraged by just seeing the work that you're doing out there. I am cheering you on with my whole heart. If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe. And I would so appreciate any reviews and ratings. Have an amazing week, and I'll connect with you soon. The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.